Welcome to A Lifetime of Hallmark. I'm Jason Bowers, and hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Jason Bowers.
We are missing Les Kirkendall today. His cat was at the vet, and he's very upset to be missing a very special episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark. We've got a special guest today. She's the writer of a movie that just aired last week on Hallmark Channel, Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, starring Lacey Chabert. She's got another one with Lori Loughlin coming up called
Homegrown Christmas.
She's the writer of both movies, Nina Weinman. Hello, Nina.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you coming on. Now, a little backstory. I think Kurt knows this. Nina and I go back a long way. We used to be neighbors about 15 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even more than that.
Yeah, and then we were in an improv group together.
For many years. Oh, wow. Tiny Bandoleros.
Where was this improv group? What was it, like Groundlings or...
Well, we went
through that program.
Yeah,
there.
We started okay. it because we were all on the wait list for like the advanced class had such a long wait list that we didn't want to get rusty while we were waiting for it. So we started just practicing with each other in Jason's apartment in our building in Studio City.
Yeah.
And then we were like, should we do a show? And so we started doing shows and it was fun.
We had a good run.
Cool.
We did. We had a really good run.
Yeah. But now Nina's like a big time writer.
Wow.
She's like the.
I know. I wanted to ask because I looked up all your IMDb credits and I saw that you did a short film called A Definite Maybe.
Oh,
with,
I
with
believe
Jason
somebody,
Bowers playing
I've
a volunteer.
Heard of him.
And my question is, did working with Jason harm your career? Because you didn't have another credit until 6 years after that.
Oh. Is that why? I always wondered.
Well, I don't know. Sorry. I've been working with Jason
wondered.
For a while, and my career hasn't been harmed, and it hasn't advanced. So I just wanted to see how that worked.
Well, we'll know the outcome in 6 years.
6 years. Well, okay.
I don't blame him for it.
Okay,
he
good.
Fabulous I'm job. I think you played like volunteer number
volunteer.
One.
Volunteer. Yeah, he was volunteer. Yeah. And I can't wait to tell Les because when I looked it up, I saw that Jason was also in General Hospital. I don't think Les is aware of this.
I had like one line. I literally like delivered
but
a package.
You don't know our friend Les Kirkendall. I once asked him, I said, would you ever be on General Hospital as an extra or something like that? He said he'd have a heart attack and die.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's exciting or because he would rather have
because
a
he's excited.
Oh, okay.
He's watched the show for 100 years.
Okay.
He'll be very excited to know that my dressing room for the day was the dressing room used by the guy that plays Dr. Tony. Oh gosh, what was his last name?
Tony Robbins? I don't know.
No, he was one of the big characters on the show at the time, and I was blown away that those shows are so big and they shoot so much in a day that they rotate who's in what dressing room. So like I was just like a 5 and under and I had the dressing room, one of the principals on the show for the day.
Wow. He is going to, his head's going to explode when he hears this.
Well, I was a Days of Our Lives person. I was not a General Hospital person.
Oh no.
I was always Days.
We're going to have to end this interview right now.
I was neither of those. I didn't watch any kind of soap operas.
Well, I haven't watched in many, many years, but I remember having a little TV in the dorms and we'd all sit around like I was the only one with a TV and we'd all sit around in my room and watch Days of Our Lives together after in college.
This actually brings up an interesting question because we should segue into the interview here is that when we watch a lot of these Hallmark movies, there's a lot of casting that's done from the soap world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that deliberate? Is it because that's a lot of the same kind of audience, you think?
I think they look for anybody who's recognizable, like Ally Sweeney is really big on the network and she does a mystery wheel and she does, occasionally she'll do, last year she did a Christmas movie and occasionally she'll do like an off Christmas movie, but for the most part, because she does her mystery wheel, she's so busy, she doesn't have time to do other things, but she's so recognizable from like, she has 11 jobs. Like, I don't know when this woman sleeps. And she's a mom. So she, like, they look for people who are just really recognizable that the audience could, that seem like a nice, decent human. That's, Hallmark is just all decency and kindness. Like, that's what I think of with them.
Well, Les, our other co-host, has pointed out on numerous occasions that Allison Sweeney played a character who shot someone's balls off.
Oh, that's right.
On Days of Our Lives. Okay, so that must have been after my time watching because I did not remember.
Did you write that episode? That sounds.
Oh, I didn't write for Days
of
Our Lives.
No.
Oh, but
I don't think that was a Hallmark.
That's a Hallmark movie, right?
Yeah, that was on Days.
That was in a soap opera. Yeah, because I don't think they've had a Hallmark movie where that's happened yet.
I don't even think we say the word balls when we're talking about like Christmas balls.
When we're talking about shooting someone's balls off.
We're very careful in the language that we use so as to not use, you know, innuendo or anything like that. It's just very wholesome and very accessible so that you can watch it with your grandmother and your four-year-old and nobody's going to go,
oh. Yeah.
You know. I've noticed that they don't even really say the word dead. Like if because there's always, we've noticed that in every Hallmark movie, there's always dead parents. Somebody has dead parents, and there's a reference to the dead parents
well,
and how it colors their life.
Well, they have to have some, like, what backstory is indicating their pain? You
know? Right. But are there, like, is there, like, a list of things that they give you when you're going to write a Hallmark film? Like, the parents have to be dead.
No, not at all.
You know, you have to kiss at the end and...
Not at all.
No?
Like
okay.
I've started to push the envelope a little bit with the kiss. Like I did a movie that I rewrote that aired in November called Christmas in Love. And I threw in a mid-movie kiss and they let me. As long as people are single, as long as it's not like, it's always tricky when you're doing a movie where like he's engaged to someone else or she's, you know, got a boyfriend, but the boyfriend works too much and he's back home and she's, you know, stranded in a shack in the woods. So they can't do, you have to protect the integrity of your characters so that if somebody's engaged or in a relationship, she can't look like a homewrecker or she can't look stupid for being with this horrible guy that everybody knows is horrible except her. So you can't make her look like an idiot and you can't make her be a homewrecker. So it's always a real delicate line that you have to balance when it's that kind of a movie. But when they're both single people, you know, looking for love, sure, let's throw a kiss in there mid-movie. And people on, because I live tweet these movies, and people on Twitter were like, oh, a kiss.
Mid-movie
like,
kiss.
They were just craving it.
It was a scandal.
Because they always feel like there's a kiss at the end of the movie and then it's over and they feel so let down because...
You know
That's
what?
All
they
get.
Probably thought the movie had ended. They probably thought the movie was only an hour long.
They were like, "That was a 42-minute movie. I don't know what to do.
Yes, this has got
to
be
what
it.
What do I do with the rest of my night?" But they, they're okay about that now.
What were you to say, Kurt?
Oh, I was going to say because I saw you once you started writing Hallmark films. You've been like, you've written a lot of them, but I was just wondering how you got like how you got into that.
So I worked on the other side of the table at a network. I worked at Lifetime for 7 years in the TV movie department. And the whole time I wasn't secretive about what I wanted to do and what my goals were. I didn't want to get promoted there. I always wanted to write. And I would write a lot of scripts, you know, while I was there and made a lot of relationships in that job. And my relationships were primarily in the TV movie world. So then... And I would just get pass after pass. And like, we like your writing, but here are 63 reasons why we're not going to sign you or buy your movie or whatever. So I was just like, keep going. And I always said, like, when somebody said no to me, I was like, I'm sad for 15 minutes. And then I'd go, okay, what's next? What? And I find another proactive way to keep trying. And so I made a lot of relationships. And I mean, the thing is, you know, just don't be a jerk and people want to work with you. And always remember that I was an assistant in the movie department. Today's assistant is tomorrow's studio head. And people who were mean to me when I was an assistant, I will never forget that. don't forget. And, you know, there are some people that will want to, you know, I haven't had anybody come and be like, oh, I always loved you, or be really phony about it. But, you know, just it's such a business based on relationships. And the relationships that I established then are still people that I work with today on my Hallmark movies. It's a very small world in TV movies. And my boss had left Lifetime and went to Hallmark and was the head of programming for a while over there. I heard she needed a wedding movie. And I just sat down. And in 1 week, I just was like, brrr, and wrote this wedding movie, and that movie is called Backyard Wedding, and they ended up buying it, and that was my first entry into. I knew people at Hallmark, but that was my first sale.
Okay.
And then,
and did that one make it air?
Yeah. That was starred Alicia Witt. It was Alicia's first Hallmark movie and my first Hallmark movie.
And it was Marky Post.
And
was
Marky
in that movie.
Post, yes.
Marky Post.
She was in it. And who else? Frances Fisher and Teddy Sears, who is just an absolute dreamboat. And he just came back to the network last season for the second time. He hadn't done, because he was on Masters of Sex and a bunch of series for a while. And, He just came back to the network. He's kind of a dreamboat. I take my male leads very seriously. This is like, I don't mess around with that. Like, I need to fall in love with them while I'm writing this. Yeah. I fall in love with them a little bit. So it needs to be somebody that gives me the boy girl feelings. And so I'm very vocal when it comes time to cast the comic.
So then you are actually actively involved in the casting of the movies too?
I'm vocal. They don't vocal. Always listen. Okay. They, well, you know, they do what they want to do, and their actresses have a say, and sometimes they listen to me, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But it just kind of depends. There's a certain roster, if you will, of actors that are reused over and over again, and especially with the guys, because the guy has to be Canadian. If they're shooting in Canada, number one can be American, and that's always the female lead. Number two has to be Canadian in order
to get
these Canadian tax credits.
I didn't know that. Okay.
That's why you get Canadian Handsome. I don't know if you guys watched that Saturday Night Live sketch.
I don't remember that.
About... Oh, no, it didn't air. It was with James Franco, so they cut it for time, but it's gone viral, and it's hilarious, and you must Google it and watch it.
Canadian Handsome.
No, it's
Handsome.
It's a Hallmark Christmas sketch. Like commercial.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. Okay.
It's really funny, and they joke about Canadian, played by Canadian Handsome, Chris Bearstick, and it's James Franco.
I have seen this.
Yeah,
I remember
so
that name.
So it's always a Canadian guy, because that's how they get these tax credits, and that pays for a lot of the movie. I mean, that's why they shoot in Canada, is because they can do it a quality movie for a price.
Yeah, I've noticed. And it makes sense because it's Hallmark. Their target audience is women, so the lead is always a recognizable female name. Often, like it was like a child star from the 90s. It's grown up and people still have a connection to. Do they ever have it where it's a male lead, or do they always try and gear it where it's a female lead?
They do a few with the male lead. Like they've done some where it's like Jesse Metcalf. Was the male lead in a couple of movies, because he's a star on the network and he's on one of their series. So they did one with him, and there was one that didn't happen that I wrote, a wedding movie something happened with the book deal and it fell apart, and he was supposed to be in that. And then I think Ryan Pavey, who's an actor from, I think, General Hospital, originally maybe... He's a soap actor. He was number one, and then they had a Canadian girl who was number two in these Mr. Darcy movies.
Okay.
So.
Oh yeah, we watched this.
Yeah. So that I can't think of off the top of my head other times, but they definitely have male leads. You know what? I think James Denton did one too.
Okay, that makes sense too.
Yeah, it's rare because most of the time it's about a woman's journey.
Yeah.
But and that's their stars are really this roster of women who just do movie after movie for them.
Yeah. Who is the star that you've worked with the most?
The star that I've worked with the most on camera is Alexa Penavega. She's done two of my movies.
Okay.
But I've worked with Rachel Boston on camera and off camera and developing.
Okay.
So I have a couple with her, but only one that she's been in.
Okay.
And then Danica too. Like I did one with her last Christmas, and then
Danica
we just
McKellar.
Sold Danica McKellar. Yeah, we just sold another movie that will probably be for next Christmas, providing, you know, all the stars align and the deals close and everything happens the way it's supposed to. So that one's going to be really special, and I'm excited for the time when I get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you given this work by Hallmark, or are you always kind of like pitching them things?
It totally varies. Like Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, they had another writer on it, and I don't know what happened with that writer, but they came to me in July, and we started shooting October 1st, and they were like,
"Okay, wow.
Read the book. We're not using the other stuff. Read the book. Go from there. Start from scratch." And so that one came down to the wire. I was writing that one right down to the wire. And while we were in production, we were making changes.
Are you on set for most of the films?
I didn't go up for that one. I had that and Homegrown Christmas. We're shooting at the exact same time. And I went to Homegrown. I'm not there for the whole time. I was going to go from Homegrown to Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, but of course, one was on the west coast of Canada and one was on the east coast of Canada, and I cannot be away from my kids that long. It's just
on the east coast, like whereabouts on the east coast?
Outside of Toronto.
Okay.
So it was North Bay, which is literally like a 16-hour travel day to get there, and I was like, oh, that's a whole day of travel there, whole day of travel home. And then a couple of days there on set, and I would just be gone from my kids for too long. And going to Vancouver, it's like you can barely watch a movie. The flight's so short. It's like a zip there, zip back, and I could go for a couple of days and have some meetings there. And so I just went to that one. I try to go to every set, and it's usually I'm welcomed there. I know some people are like, they turn in their script and either they don't want to be, they just want to go move on to the next, or there are some directors that are like, it's my movie now, go away. But that's never happened with mine. I've had some really great, I think in the Hallmark world, everybody feels like we're a team. They have a very family vibe in that world. And so we're all in this together. And so I don't feel like in certain instances the writer feels like you turn in the script and then they go off and everybody has the party without you. Yeah. And that's not the case.
Okay. I work on a lot of shoots, and so I was just curious, how is the food on those shoots?
It's set food.
I feel like set food is set food.
It depends on what set you're on.
Craft services. Do you get like omelets and things like that?
So I had a friend at our school who asked me, because they were like, do you know, there's this woman and she's like, she's not well, she's probably not going to make it. Her wish is to meet a celebrity. And can you help us help her meet a celebrity? And so we're friends with Ty and Holly Burrell. And so I asked Ty, you know, can we do something? He said, bring her to the set of Modern Family. I go to the set of Modern Family. Every actor has their own, like, Escalade that drives them from their trailer to the set, because it was on location. It wasn't in the studio. The food was, I was like, what is happening? Like, this is what a real budget looks like. I mean,
Hallmark's not spending money on that stuff. Okay.
I mean, they just can't. They just don't have. they make so much that they don't. It's not as, you know, a TV series, I think, it makes a lot more money than a TV movie.
Yeah.
So obviously they can spend more because they're going to make more. And I think Hallmark does really well with the TV movies, and the ad sales I think are doing incredibly well. But you go onto a set like that and you're like, there's like, you know, on our sets, there's like minivans that drive them, and they each have their own like limousine. And
I remember I used to do extra work when I first moved out to LA, and you could tell how much money the show had based on craft services and catering.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was an extra on Melrose Place, and we were shooting at this mansion one day, and they had taken over the entire garage and made it craft services, and they literally had like racks of candy, like candy bars, like you would see at the grocery store.
It's just a whole different world.
Yeah, you work on like HBO shows. Like I would work on that, and they'd have this great lunches and great craft services. Then I'd work on like the Carrie Diaries, and not much going on there.
No.
Yeah. They were on their last leg, I think, at that time.
But all the sets in Canada have these like beef jerky sticks that I'm always like, oh, I love those. And I just go and you just like, all you do is you just eat garbage. It's like, maybe it's almost food. And I just like eat 1,000 of them when I'm on set. I'm like, I got to get out of here because it's like eating a salt lick and it's not even like edible. And I just, I love them so much that I'm like, all right, I got to go. I got to go home.
All right, besides the Danica movie, what do you have coming up next year? Can you say?
I can about a few. I have one that I'm waiting for notes. It's a wedding movie. I don't know yet if it's on the schedule because what happens is they'll do 5 wedding movies in a season, 4 or 5, and they have 9 that they choose from. So I don't know if it's going to be on the schedule. It's called The Last Bridesmaid, and it's really fun. It's very, I liken it to, you know, you know what it's about because it's the last bridesmaid, you know, the last single girl amongst all of her married friends.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those fun, like relatable young wedding movies that, you know, we'll have some horrible bridesmaid dresses in it and the people who really mean well and go, you know, if you're not married by the time you're 30, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's super relatable to a young girl looking for a husband, but all funny. It's not depressing. It's
okay. I don't know. You said you're not married, but you're 30.
If you have to be married by the time you're 30, I got married so much later than that.
People are nagging each other. It sounds
to
like
me. If you're married at 30, you haven't lived. What is that?
I did some research. I saw that Hallmark films are getting ratings of 6 million viewers per film. And The Walking Dead is the most watched TV show on cable. Is there any chance we can have a crossover?
Walking Dead and Hallmark. Like zombies
or there
chasing
could be a zombie, there
Lacey
could be a zombie
Chabert
Hallmark
through a shopping mall.
Oh, like, you could do a Halloween movie there, like Zombies in Love.
Oh yeah.
Like they don't want to bite and kill. They just want to find love.
It's like Twilight, right? Wasn't that Twilight? He was like, I love you, but I want to hurt you.
And zombies can live forever, so you could say, look, if you're not married by the time you are like 130.
If that's not happily ever after, I don't know what is. But I don't know, but let me float the idea and see what they have to say.
Well, I want a piece of that. I don't know how I can actually legally get a piece of that.
Walking Dead on Hallmark. Yeah. Okay, I really feel like that's going to not happen.
Oh, come on. This is the thing.
It's not warm and fuzzy.
I mean,
this is the problem. I'm not part of the decision making.
How hot are these zombies?
Yeah. They're Canadian.
See, I would love that. I would be on board. Handsome. I'd be first in line to watch that on TV.
Yeah.
I have to stand in line to watch TV.
I get it. We all want a little zombie in our life, but, you know, I don't think you're going to find it on Hallmark anytime soon.
All right. Well, once again, your next movie, Lori Loughlin, it is Homegrown Christmas. It's on December 8th.
December 8th.
And if you haven't seen Pride, Prejudice, and Christmas, go
watch
that.
Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe.
And Mistletoe, sorry. Go watch that. Is it on demand?
It will be on again, and I don't have the exact dates, but I know on Hallmark's website, they have all the upcoming air dates, and I think it's probably scheduled like 4 more times.
Yeah, set your phone for alerts, basically, is what you should do.
It's what?
Set your phone for alerts.
Yeah.
Of all Nina's movies.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Well, there'll be more next year. I'll come back on and talk about those.
We would love that.
Okay, cool. That'd be great.
Thank you very much, Nina Wyman.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.